It's time for Dial-A-Doc now, brought to us by FHN. Joining us today, Quality Control Officer at FHN, Dr. Rebecca L. Pedersen. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today?
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Now, your topic is advance directives. What exactly is an advance directive?
An advance directive is a written document that a patient would complete and share with their healthcare provider. It gives the doctor or the nurse practitioner an idea of what they would like done when they can't speak for themselves. And it's something that should be discussed before it's actually needed. Sort of like planning your will or making some retirement planning. You look to the future, but you do the work now.
Definitely something that people want to discuss and talk about with children and that type of thing, spouse. Do most of the patients, doctor, you work with have advance directives?
I wish they did, but actually most patients don't. I think it's for a few reasons. It takes time, and maybe we all don't understand it as clearly as we should. Also, sometimes people are just afraid of talking about death or critical illness because they don't think it will happen to them. But actually, it's something we all will face. And so even most seniors don't have advance directives. And this is something that every adult should have.
So how does that come up when patients are visiting or maybe during a visit? I assume that if there's a surgery coming up, it definitely is a topic discussed.
Yes, I think a good time to talk about it would be if you're at the doctor for a wellness visit and you have issues that are not pressing, but you're just thinking about the future and what could happen next. Also, if you go to the hospital and you are admitted, it's a question that's asked. We ask it at every visit to FHN in the clinic, and there are opportunities to talk about if there's a new serious illness and you're worried and the doctor's worried about your future. This topic will come up more naturally at that time.
Maybe you kind of covered this. What age maybe should someone plan to have that advance directive in place?
Well, children probably don't need it because their parents are their surrogate and would make the decision for them. But any adult, so 18 and above, you're on your own. You have to make your own decisions. And the state law does dictate who would make your decisions for you. And for example, if I was married, it would be my husband. If I was married but legally separated, I'm not sure. But a lot of people don't know that their estranged spouse could be that person, or their adult children that they're not friends with could be that person. And so you want to pick someone that you trust, someone who is an adult who could speak for you when you can't speak for yourself. It's really important to have this information ahead of time.
I would think so. And each person, you don't want to, like you said, have someone that you don't want to make that decision, making that decision. Many people think an advance directive is just a single document, but it's really three, isn't it, Doctor?
That's right. You might have heard of the terms a living will, and you might have heard of a healthcare power of attorney, or even a do not resuscitate order. And these are the three documents that we're thinking of when we speak about advance directives.
Can you explain the difference in these, and then what does the healthcare power of attorney do?
A healthcare power of attorney designates an adult that could make decisions for you when you're not able to speak, or they could also help advise you when you are able to speak, but you just need to rely on someone else's judgment. So this would be a trusted individual. It could be family, it could be friend, and it could be anyone, anywhere, as long as we have their name and their number and you've shared this information with your provider.
How is that different from the second part, the living will?
The living will just outlines what you would like us to do when you're living. It may be such things as, I want a feeding tube, I want to live forever, so please do everything possible to get me to my 100th birthday, doctor. It could say, really, quality of life is more important instead of quantity of life. And I want you to focus on my the whole picture. And I don't want a feeding tube, or I want to be kept comfortable. I want to take hydration by my mouth and eat naturally through my mouth. And those things can be really specific. You might even say you want to be an organ donor, or you want to donate your body to science. These are things that we have to think about when you're still living.
And very important things to think about, and probably easier when you're not in a life-death situation. We're talking with Dr. Rebecca L. Patterson, Chief Quality Officer at FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc on Big Radio. How is the third part, Doctor, the DNR, or Do Not Resuscitate Directive, different from the first two?
So the Do Not Resuscitate is actually on a form, and it has the letters POLST, pulsed, on the top of it. And that is a physician order for life-sustaining treatment. This is the decision document that you would look to if there was a serious or critical illness. And in the top section, it says, if I don't have a heartbeat or I'm not breathing on my own, do I want CPR, chest compressions? Do I want intubation? So you get to make that decision. The second document says, if I come to the hospital, do I want to be admitted? Do I want to go to the ICU? Do I want to have aggressive care? Or should I be kept comfortable at home and use non-invasive breathing options like BiPAP, oxygen through a nasal cannula? The last section talks about your nutrition and hydration. Do you want a feeding tube? Do you want it for a short period of time? Or do you absolutely not want that artificial hydration and nutrition? And this is a document that is signed with your provider. It could be a physician, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, a patient, and it's dated. And it is a document that is kept at the clinic or the hospital, so we know what to do if you come in a critical situation.
And a question you probably saw coming, why are all three needed?
Because they're all three different. First of all, I need to know who to call when you can't speak. And number two, I need to know what to do during your lifetime when you're living, what's important to you, and what should I avoid, and what should I pursue as your provider. And lastly, when you come in with a critical life-threatening situation and you're in the hospital or the ambulance comes to your house, should we do everything, including life support, bring you to the hospital, put you in the ICU, or should we stop and consider that this is not what you wanted to do and that you wanted us to keep you comfortable? So all three are a whole package of planning your future healthcare needs.
Do you get people that are not sure what to do and ask a lot of questions? I would think, you know, they're curious as to, okay, if I say no to this, then what? And if I say yes to this, then what? Or is it pretty clear to people as you explain it?
I think a lot of people have questions, and so this conversation can't be rushed. It should not be tacked on to the end of a sore throat visit or you're in acute pain and you're trying to talk about this decision quickly and you don't really have time to think or consider all the options. It should be a visit with the provider in the office, ideally. If it doesn't happen in the office, it can happen in the hospital. But you want to have time to think and respond and hash it out between the two people. And if you have some lingering questions, go home, think about it, and come back and sign those papers at another time.
That's actually what I was just going to say. It's not probably the worst idea to go home and discuss it with your spouse or your significant other and really play it through and talk about each little detail. Now, can people, Doctor, we're talking with Dr. Rebecca L. Patterson, Chief Quality Officer at FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc and FHN on Big Radio, can people do these on their own?
Yes, absolutely. And these documents are available. You can ask your provider for a copy. We'll give you a fresh copy, as many as you need. And they should be shared with the person you designate for your healthcare power of attorney. They should be shared with your spouse or your adult children. And then bring a copy to your physician, nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, so it can be put in your electronic medical record and it can be shared between clinics, hospital, other providers.
What if somebody makes some of these decisions, say, when they're 55 years old, now it's 20 years later and they're 75, and they kind of change their mind? Can
Yes.
you alter these?
Yes, that would happen, because I'm sure what you wanted at 50 might be different than 80. And so this is something you can change at any time. It's just a matter of ripping up the document and starting again.
Where should people file these or have them available, and can FHN have them on file for folks?
Yes, I would keep a copy at home, but also tell your family and your healthcare power of attorney where they're at. And then most importantly, they need to be available when they're needed. And so that's often at the hospital or the clinic. So bring in a copy, share them with your doctor, and we will keep them safe for you.
One more question before our last question. What if the person that you have making those decisions for you passes away before you do, and you don't do anything about it? What happens then?
Ideally, it would be good if you had a second person lined up for your healthcare power attorney. So say, for example, I might designate my husband as my first healthcare power attorney, my adult daughter as my second healthcare power attorney, so you can have people in succession. But if you don't have a succession plan for that, you would not have a healthcare power attorney if the person you selected was unavailable or had died.
All right. And if people are curious, and I'm sure some discussions may be happening at the kitchen table right now, where can people find out more?
Yes, you should go to FHN.org website. You can search for advanced directives, and there will be a video there for you to watch. You could also speak with your healthcare provider. And we do have an advanced directive hotline where we can help you with any questions. And that phone number would be 815-599-7080. So please call us, look us up on the web, or talk to us. We'd be happy to answer your question.
Great that you have a video, too. Sometimes people like to not only hear things, but see that, and a great idea. We've been visiting with Dr. Rebecca L. Pedersen, Chief Quality Officer at FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc today. Fantastic information, Doctor. Thanks so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I will. You too. That's Dial-A-Doc. This is Big FM 93.7, The Morning Mess.